Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Living by Design show. I am absolutely thrilled to spend the next 60 minutes with you working on your life design. So welcome, welcome, welcome everyone. Now, I hope you have enjoyed the journey thus far in designing your life plan. And if you've been keeping up with the last several shows, then you will realize and understand that we have been focusing on phase one of designing your life plan. And this is actually the most important phase, because if you don't make it through this phase, it will be difficult and next to impossible to accomplish any goal at all, okay? Your mindset, your thoughts, your beliefs, your attitude, your commitment level, your outlook, your willingness to change and step out of your comfort zone, or what I'm calling your place of familiarity, are all extremely crucial to your success. So in the upcoming weeks, we will begin to move into the creating a vision and begin to outline your plan. But for now, it is very, very important that you understand the criticality of shifting your mindset to a place of belief instead of defeat. Now, I actually have a guest who will be joining me this evening, world-renowned expert, mental scientist, psychologist, and behavioral expert, Dr. Hank Sees, will be joining me later in the show. And Dr. Hank is an international speaker. He's a best-selling author. He has worked with hundreds of thousands of individuals and businesses to measurably increase their goal results. So he uses measurement tools. I mean, he's not just out there jumping around. He's using tools to make sure he is getting results. He doesn't just inform. He also transforms and impacts. So that's the most important thing here. We are here to not just give you the information, but we want to impact upon you the importance of it. We want to transform, and we want to influence you to understand how important this is. His credentials are very strong. Dr. Hank, his undergrad degree in business was from the University of Wisconsin. He has a master's in human behavioral and a PhD in mental science. So he will be joining us a little bit later on in the second half of the show to help with your questions and comments, if you have any questions or comments and you want to call in or if you just want to listen, because we're going to be discussing the mindset changes, the beliefs, and whatever mental and emotional obstacles are holding you back and preventing you from embracing and accepting and implementing change into your life. Now, I just want to do a... He'll be coming on a little later. But last week, I asked you to go to the website and download the mini workbook and complete the values exercise. Now, if you're just tuning in, I'll go ahead and give you the website. It's www.chollowayhill.com, C-H-O-L-L-O-W-A-Y-H-I-L-L.com. And if you click the media tab at the very top of the page, it's in big words, download the mini workbook here, or you can buy the full workbook under the books tab, either choice, whatever you'd like to do. So I hope you did that values exercise. If you did, you should have a better idea of what is important to you and where you place your emphasis in life. And then there was a place to write out a value statement. Now, the purpose of that exercise was to help you in these early stages of making your self-assessment, because that's what we're doing right now in these early stages. before you can achieve any goal, even though you may know exactly what your goal is, it's not going to happen unless you go through these early processes and these early self-assessment exercises to understand your roadblocks, because we all have them. And unless you uncover them and understand them and remove them, you will not be successful. Now, if you've been with me the entire time, you've heard me talk about change, releasing fear, and the difficulties of it. And what I'd like to do right now is explain how your mind works so that you will understand why you're feeling what you're feeling at any given point in time and why change appears to be so difficult. Now, you heard me say appears to be, and you're going to understand why I say it appears to be so difficult. Now, what I want you to do right now, hopefully by now you should know when you come to these sessions to come with either a journal or a pen and paper or something to write with. So I'm going to go ahead and give you a couple of seconds to get something to write with, because I want to explain to you how this works. Now, I want you to draw a big circle on a sheet of paper, okay? Just a very large circle. Go ahead and draw a large circle. In that circle, I want you to divide it up into three sections as if you were slicing a pie. Three sections. I want you to write these words in each of the sections. Are you ready? At the top section, write the word conscious. C-O-N-S-C-I-O-U-S, as in your conscious mind, conscious. Then in the second section, anywhere on the paper, write subconscious, S-U-B-C-O-N-S-C-I-O-U-S. I don't want to assume anything and know that you know how to spell that, so please forgive me if I'm insulting you. I don't mean to. I am trying to help. And then on that last section, if you sectioned it off into three, on that last section, I want you to write the words creative subconscious. Creative subconscious. Now, I'm going to explain how all three of these areas of your brain work when it comes to your thoughts and the process of change. And when Dr. Hank comes on, we'll go a little deeper and we'll take a few questions if you want to call in and ask questions. And if not, I have a few emails where people have been writing in asking specific questions. Now, you have those three sections divided up into three parts on your paper. In the section where it says conscious, I want you to write these words beside conscious. I want you to write perceives, associates, evaluates, and decides. Okay? Beside the word conscious, I want you to write perceives, associate, evaluate, and decide. In the subconscious section, I want you to write the words stores habits, and attitude. Okay? So you're going to be writing stores truths, habits, and attitudes in the subconscious section. And then in the creative subconscious section, I want you to write the words maintains sanity and balance, creates drive and energy, and resolves conflict. So your conscious mind perceives, associates, evaluates, and decides. Your subconscious mind stores truths, habits, and attitudes. And your creative subconscious maintains sanity and balance and creates drive and energy and resolves conflict. If you're not writing this down, then you can just listen. Now, in order for you to understand why the affirmation process and the self-talk process really work, I'm going to give you insight into some very deep psychology of your mind right now and how thoughts are processed and how your behavior follows suit. Now, this is extremely critical, so I need you to listen carefully, and it's also available for download at any time if you want to re-listen back to this. All of my shows can be downloaded from this site. Now, every human is wired mentally to maintain order in their mind, okay? This order is what is known as your life. Have you ever thought to yourself, this doesn't taste right, or this doesn't look right, or this doesn't feel right, or something here just doesn't seem right. I'm sure you have thought those words before. Everybody has. If you haven't, then your mind is not working well, but I'm sure all of your minds are working well. Or have you ever walked into a room, whether it's at your home or somewhere else, and noticed that a picture wasn't hanging straight on the wall? Your first instinct would be to straighten it, correct? Or if your house is messy, you don't feel right until it's in the order that you like it to be. Order means you have an image of what is right. It's the way the room should look, the way your car should look, the way your house should look, the way your life should look. In your subconscious mind, your reality, your truths that are stored there in your subconscious mind, that's your idea and image of how things are supposed to be. So whatever is stored in your subconscious mind, it's there, it's you, it's how you behave, it's your life. In your conscious mind, your perceptions of how things appear had better match what is in your subconscious. And if it doesn't, that's when conflict within your life and your mind occurs. For instance, stored in your subconscious is the belief that your kitchen should be straightened and cleaned after every meal. Now, I'm using a very simple, easy example. This, all of these simple things, complex and simple things, are all stored in your subconscious. So stored in your subconscious is the belief that your kitchen should be straight and cleaned up after every meal. If your conscious mind doesn't see that, you react, or it bothers you until something is done about it. Either you will go clean it, or you will try to convince yourself through self-talk that I'll do it later. But it may keep bothering you, and you may feel tensed and anxious until you go ahead and get it cleaned. Once you get that kitchen cleaned up, now order has been restored, so you can go on about your business. You're always working to make your outside world match your inside world. What I just said is extremely critical, so I'm going to say it again. And if you want to write it down, I highly would recommend it. You are always working on a level that you're not even aware of. You're always working to make your outside world match your inside world. Now, let's go back to the kitchen example. Suppose your subconscious has a stored image of a messy kitchen, and it very rarely gets cleaned. For you, this is normal. Now, remember, I'm telling you that the whole idea here is whatever is stored inside of you, whether it's good or bad, it has to match what's on the outside. So, if your subconscious mind has a stored image of a messy kitchen and it rarely gets clean, and this is normal for you, if by some miracle someone comes along and cleans up that kitchen, it doesn't feel right, it doesn't appear right, and once that individual who came and cleaned up your kitchen is gone, you will allow it to go right back to that messy appearance because for you that is your order. That is your norm. So when I say we work to make our outside world match the inside, it simply means that whatever is stored in your subconscious, whether good or bad, because a messy kitchen for you is good, whereas for others it may be bad. This is what you will fight to keep in your external world. This is what you will fight to keep in your external world. So if there is garbage inside your subconscious, then guess what? You're going to make sure that there will be garbage in your external world, in your habits, in your beliefs, in your reality, in your life. Now let's look at the part you wrote down, your creative subconscious. Now, remember I told you to write down the words for creative subconscious, maintains sanity and balance. When you feel that something is not right, not what it should be, it's because your creative subconscious is at work causing you to fight hard to maintain that level of expectancy. So when you try to change your beliefs and decide to create goals, guess what? Your creative subconscious kicks in and says, oh, no, 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 that doesn't match with what is stored in here. This is not you. Go back, go back. And that's what you, and that's why you fail in accomplishing your goals. Now, the good news is that your creative subconscious also creates drive and energy, if you wrote those words down, because I told you to write those words down. So your mind is actually wired for success if you learn how to use it, which is why I'm explaining this, because it's extremely important. When there is a conflict within what is stored in your subconscious as a toxic belief and your behavior versus what your conscious mind decides it wants to do, that creativity, that drive, that energy is released from your creative subconscious to actually help you make the change. So let's say you see the messy kitchen. And if you see the messy kitchen and you really do want to be better and you want to start creating a more orderly household and you want to clean up after yourself, and you want your behaviors and habits to change. I don't want my kitchen to be messy, even though that is normal for me. I want to change that. So when you try to go about making that change, your creative subconscious is saying, no, 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 no. What's stored in here is that that kitchen is supposed to be messy, so leave it alone, let it go. That's when your creative subconscious starts creating that energy and drive to help you push through that uncomfortable stage. And instead of feeling that creative drive and energy the way it should be used, we allow it to come across and we feel it as tension and anxiety. Goal setting and being, doing, and having better is causing a conflict with your conscious, subconscious, and creative subconscious. And instead of using the creativity, the drive, and the energy that your creative subconscious gives you to help you, you actually allow it to hurt you because it comes across as tension and anxiety inside of you because things are now out of order and the internal and the external aren't matching. And see, this is where the difficulty in change occurs. If you can use that creative drive and energy that your mind is providing for you to push through the comfort zone, push through the place of unfamiliarity, and use your affirmations and your visualization and allow the drive and energy that is created to push you forward instead of pulling you back, to keep you rising up instead of giving up, to help you bail out instead of burning out. That is why you can say, you get it. That's a light bulb moment. When you can understand this concept that I just explained to you, that is a light bulb moment. Most people fight their entire life looking for external fulfillment so that the internal can follow suit. But as you now see, it's the other way around. Whatever is inside you, your creative subconscious will fight to keep it that way regardless of what comes your way externally. You can win the lottery, millions of dollars, but if there's still garbage on the inside from all your stored up life setbacks, failures, challenges, negative attitude, perceptions, and toxic self-talk, eventually your mindset will go right back to misery because that's what your internal image, beliefs, and habits align around. You could meet the best man or best woman, your true devoted soulmate, but if you're a mess on the inside and you have not learned how to channel that energy toward change, you'll miss that opportunity. So you see why some people are so successful at their craft, because they pull it from the inside out. That's the key. Are you understanding how the pieces of the puzzle fit together? When you understand these concepts of how your mind and thought processes work, you will know what to expect when you consciously decide to set goals, change your mindset, and improve your attitude. Yes, you will feel anxiety and tension, but now you hopefully understand when you do start feeling that anxiety and tension, start celebrating because you know it's working. Don't allow the tension and anxiety to hold you back. When you feel it, take time to quiet your mind. That's when your affirmations, your visualization, that's when those things should start to kick in. Do your affirmations and your visualization. See yourself at the pinnacle of success in accomplishing your goals, and you will become a different person. Consistency, persistency, commitment, discipline, and a strong desire is what it takes. And we are going to build that life together, okay? Now, at this time, I am ready to bring my guest on the line, Dr. Hank, and I mentioned to you his credentials are extremely strong early on before I started explaining to you about thought process and how your conscious, subconscious, and creative subconscious work. So I am going to go ahead and bring Dr. Hank Sees on the line. Dr. Hank, good evening. Are you there?
Yes, good evening, Kathy. I am. It's so nice to be here to speak with you and your listeners.
Well, thank you for joining us this evening, and I'm not sure how much you heard of me explaining that that explanation of the thought process, but as I mentioned to you when we exchanged emails, I am in the process of doing on-air live coaching. And in the beginning stages, as you very well know, it's very, very important to embrace change, understand why you have toxic self-talk, understand the importance of shifting your mindset, readjusting your beliefs, assessing your beliefs, figuring out where they came from, getting all that toxic stored up stuff out of there and reshaping and remolding it through affirmations, visualization, and meditation.
Well,
so
I think
I'm
going
to turn it over to you. Yes, I'm going to turn it over to you so you can give your interpretation.
Well, you bet. I did hear your explanation, and you're dead on there. You're right on that. That, you know, everything, Kathy, and to your listeners, that everything starts with our thoughts. That if you look around, the chair you're sitting in, the car you're driving in, the windows, the whatever you, wherever you look, that it all started by a thought. Someone said, wow, we need to make a chair or we need to make a car or whatever. That everything comes from thoughts, and that we create in our world, in our experience, everything that we have in our experience comes from our thoughts. And as you know, I'm a mental scientist, and I have studied this for years and studied the human mind, not the brain. The brain is the thing that, you know, handles your breathing,
right,
and your physicalness, but your mind, and our mind is the one that creates. However, that what destroys our lives is what I call the committee. And the committee are these lower self thoughts that we all have, and it's just part of human nature to have these thoughts and these committee members. And so imagine in your mind there's this beautiful mahogany desk table that sits about 12 people, and there's these beautiful leather chairs that every one of these characters that are in our mind, in our committee, our lower self, that try to take over our thinking. And so the characters in this are, number one is fear, that we have a committee member in our mind called fear. And fear is actually an acronym of false evidence appearing real. The insurance company, for example, looked at why are people dying, and they found the number one reason was heart disease. And so they wanted to understand where heart disease was coming from, and they realized that heart disease was coming from stress, And then they studied stress, and they looked at stress, and they found out that stress came from fear. So they studied fear, and they found that the things that we fear in our life never even happened to us, Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
And the other 7% that did happen to us, that we couldn't have done anything about it anyways. So that's why fear is false evidence appearing real. And think of the fears that we have, that I hope our children don't get hurt today, that, gee, I hope I don't get fired, I hope I don't get yelled at, I hope he's not mean to me, or whatever. We have all these fears, and it prevents us from creating the good in our lives, because the only thing that creates is our thoughts and in our mind. And if we are focused on these lower self-committee thoughts that we, instead of creating, we destroy. And so fear is one. And so imagine on this table there's fear, and then next to fear is worry. And then worry, it's just a bunch of waste of time to worry. That, you know, we need to be proactive and do things. Worrying doesn't do, all that does is what I focus on mentally is what I create. And so I create, the more I worry about things, the more it's attracted into my life. We're like magnets. We're like magnets that what we think about will come into our lives. And so if we worry about the fear and we have the worry, another committee member is doubt. The opposite of faith is doubt. And so we look at this doubt and we recognize it's just a waste of time. Why am I doubting myself? Why am I doubting others? Why am I doubting circumstances around me? And then we have complaining. And whenever I'm complaining all it does is it keeps me off of creating again. And so we don't create and we complain. Or if I'm blaming, like if you go ahead and just stick your finger, one finger out, and if you look, and pretend you're pointing at something, and if you look, there's three fingers pointing back to us. That by blaming others, you know, it takes two to tango, and that blaming isn't it. That we have to recognize that we're it. That we create our own experience. Now, there's a couple of other committee members that sit at this table, this big, beautiful mahogany table. And by the way, the reason why it's a big, beautiful mahogany table with these leather chairs is because we have given it power. The only power the committee has is the power that we give it. And so this committee of fear and worry and doubt, complaining and blaming, and then we come in with shame, and we're ashamed of our background, our upbringing, whatever it is, that we have shame, and then guilt, and guilt of the past. You know, Kathy, the past is dead, that we can't do anything about the past other than to look at the past differently than when we did. We have dysfunctional behaviors from childhood. When we were 4 to 6 years old, we had some experiences that weren't pleasant, and they hurt our hearts very much. And so let me give you an example. Let's say that, you know, your mom or dad yelled at you, and you're 4 or 6 years old, and so you decide, well, I'm going to run into my bedroom, and I'm going to close the door, and I'm going to hide under my covers, and that's going to work. And so we do that, and we felt comfort because we did that, because it helped protect our heart. And so we then go, and as an adult, that when we get into a conflict with, let's say, our life partner, our significant other, and we get into a challenge with them, that what we do is we don't actually talk about the issue. Instead, we just be quiet and hold it in, or we attack the other person, and we really don't share our feelings. And why do we do that? Because as a child, we were comforted by that. And we have to understand that this protector that protected our heart, we are now emotionally and intellectually mature, and that we can now look at those circumstances and recognize that our parents were doing the best that they could, and that we need to recognize this protector has hidden our heart from having depth of feeling with relationships, of being able to be honest with ourselves and with others, that we hide behind this protector and we don't show our heart. So we have this shame, this guilt, that happens, guilt from the past, and it prevents us from achieving and being everything that we want. So the power, and let me share with you a technique on how do we recognize that this committee, this smaller self in our minds, we no longer have to be controlled by this fear and this worry and this doubt and this complaining and blaming and shame and guilt and this protector that, you know, has hit our heart, that what we can do very easily is simply begin to observe our thoughts. You know, in the Bible it states about the observer and the witness. And what is that? Well, we're a witness to our own thoughts. And so if we just, like, hold our hand out and then point our finger towards our head, okay, where our mind is, if you will, and just from that vantage point, just observe your thoughts and look at those thoughts. And if those thoughts are destructive thoughts, if those thoughts are bad thoughts, that you can recognize that I don't have to own these thoughts anymore. I don't need to own these destructive thoughts. In fact, I'm going to replace any negative, any bad, destructive thoughts, I'm going to replace with good, positive thoughts. So, for example, that if I'm thinking, oh, I'm so mad at this person because they said that. That's it. You know, I observe those thoughts and I go, I don't have to be blaming this other person that, yeah, they did that, but everybody's trying to do the best that they can. That what it is it's up to me to have a different thought on this person comes from the same source as I do. This person is trying as best as they can. And that by changing our thoughts, it will truly change our lives, much in the same way that you had identified earlier to your wonderful audience on the power of how we can use our thoughts through affirmations, through visualizations, and how we can create the life that we have always wanted.
That's right. Dr. Hank, I'm going to read, I took a couple of emails because I have received quite a few emails with questions. Individuals don't want to be heard and come on the air
sure.
and speak live. But I'm going to go ahead and read a question here for you from a person who's actually going through this process of designing their life and the life coaching. And they begin out by saying, I don't know how to express myself anymore the way I used to. I used to be a very positive person, optimistic about life and love. Now I find myself tied up with confusing emotions with no connections and no explanation for that confusion. Not understanding why, I isolate myself from loved ones and I have cut my relationship with my significant other. I feel dull and empty inside, and I don't know why. I've tried antidepressants, had my hormones checked. I am taking hormone replacement therapy, but I still struggle daily. I do want to feel better. What can I do?
Yes, well, and that I empathize with that all of us go through changes, and I can tell you that typically drugs aren't going to change anything. They're just going to hide whatever it is. There are some hormone challenges that people have, and so that's good to do, and that's all good common sense, but it goes back to why is this person feeling detached? Why is this person detached from you know, my spouse, from the love of life? You know, this person is saying, reaching out to us, and we've all been there where we say, you know, what happened to my love of life? And here's what happened is that we became overcome by these committee thoughts. We have become overcome to where we're at the point where we recognize that we recognize only that this committee has taken over, and all we see is bad. And the day is right now, the time is now, the present moment is the only power that we have. And it's a time, and for me, my recommendation for this specific person to help them and for all of us to do, and that is for us to become still, for us to become quiet, for us to become relaxed, and to become one with spirit, recognizing our oneness with Spirit, God, whatever word you want to use, and recognizing this. And you know, there's some sayings that have been through the ages, and it's seek and you shall find it. Ask and you shall be received. That knock and the door shall be open. And all of those sayings, all that means is that if this person, if each one of us, whatever we truly want, that all we need to do is become silent and still. And as we are, that all we need to do is ask for the answer. How do I become more engaged with life? How do I make amends and enjoy and love life like I used to? And the idea is not.
And you know, Dr. Hank, that is so true, because on the show here, I try to come from both a biblical perspective as well as a scientific perspective so that I can make sure that everyone understands it from however they need to understand it, from their vantage point. So if you are spiritual and you're connected with the higher power, absolutely fantastic. If you're not, that's okay too, because there is a scientific way to understand how your thought processes work, which is what I explained earlier about your conscious, your subconscious, and your creative subconscious. So it all works the same. Everything you need is inside of you, and when you can learn how to tap into that and understand just what Dr. Hank explained about the doubt and the worry and the fear and the guilt and the shame and how those feelings can affect your thoughts. And once you remove those, and it's not something that is going to happen overnight. Please, Dr. Hank, talk about the baby steps and how you have to first start out with just simple, basic affirmations. Of course, you're not going to just tomorrow wake up and okay, my thoughts are all fixed. So what are just some basic, simple things that our listeners can do just to begin the process? Because that's what we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, starting out with the coaching sessions, so that they can understand how to gain control of their thoughts. What are some simple, easy things?
You bet. Well, there's some very simple things. And one of these simple things, in fact, if your listeners, if they go to cmtbook.com, that's C as in cat, M as in Mary, T as in Terry, and then book.com, but there's a 1 to 31 tracking sheet there, and what that does is every day that you want to track some type of thought to make sure you think of a thought, and so let me give you an example of what you would want to track. That, let's say that just an easy thing, that I want to become healthy. That and you may want to quit a habit. You know, you may be smoking and you want to quit smoking or drinking and stop drinking. You know, whatever thing, because that's the committee too, by the way, that says, oh, I need a cigarette or I need a drink, it'll make it better. And in fact, it's killing us, and that it doesn't make anything better, it makes us worse. And whenever there's confusion and insanity, you recognize that, oh, that must be the committee. And so an affirmation that most powerful words any of us could ever say to ourselves is I am. And then whatever we say after that is what we become. And so an affirmation is done in the present tense. So it's not I'm going to be, because what happens there is it goes from the conscious mind to the subconscious, and the subconscious says, well, we're going to be someday, but not today.
So,
or a dirty word is the word try. You know, well, tried it back. That try tells the subconscious, hey, someday, but not today. And that whether I make it or not, it doesn't matter. So I am, and so an easy one on health is, I am healthy. And to say that with feeling, and at night when you go to bed, and if you have a partner next to you, say it to yourself, otherwise they'll think you're out of your mind. But what you would do is you would just lull yourself to sleep by saying, I am healthy.
Great. Now, Dr. Hank, I like to try to take callers when they have a question. So I'm going to go ahead, if you don't mind, and take a live caller and bring on the line area code 818. You're on the line. Would you like to ask a question or make a comment?
Well, Yes, I want to make a comment. What seems to be happening to me, and I wonder if it's happening to other people, is that my thoughts process, I was told they're not just my thoughts. I'm picking up vibrations from all over. It started, I lived a strange life for many years, and after I was free from that relationship, I said a prayer to God, whatever, and I want to make a difference in my world, in my life, and then all of a sudden people have come towards me, good and bad, and I have to choose which people I should be around with. And my ex, well, was a sociopath, and it seems like I've met plenty of them since then. But it's amazing with the vibrations I'm picking up with people. But I know it's not just in my mind, it's something I'm picking up, right, when you pick up vibrations.
Sure.
Well, caller, that is an absolute wonderful point, a phenomenal point, because it is energy. Energy is contagious. So I thank you for that comment. I'm going to mute you back, and we're going to go ahead and discuss that, okay?
Okay,
great.
Great.
Keep listening.
Yes.
Now,
thank you.
Now, Dr. Hanks, that's a great comment she made, and I absolutely do know, and you also know, that your thoughts are energy. Energy is contagious, and you can walk into a room full of negative people, and you can just feel the thick tension in the room. So yes, talk about how she is picking up other people's energy and how it's contagious. It's like catching a cold. If you're around too many people like that, you're going to catch it.
Sure, you bet. That, you know, it's back to this committee idea, this concept that we have, this board, little board room in our minds, and that it's always trying to take over. In like Christian terms, it would be called the devil. You know, the only devil there is a sense of guy in a little red thing with a little, pitchfork running around. That the only devil there is this committee within our mind. And what happens is that other people have these committees, and these committees produce energy. And so one of the things for you to overcome any of these, this negative energy, is for you to be very centered and focused mentally on your energy and what your thoughts are going to be. And so the way to do that, here's again another simple technique, is when you wake up in the morning, instead of just jumping out of bed and being busy, 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 which is another committee member, that what you would do is wake up 10 minutes earlier and you would just become quiet and still and relax yourself from the top of your head down to your feet and become very still and just say to yourself that I know today I will have the perfect thought, that I will have the perfect words, and I will have the perfect deeds. And by doing that, that then gives you the type of support and foundation to not attract into your life those negative people that our caller had talked about, but instead you will attract into your life the right type of people. Again, we're like a magnet, that our thoughts attract into our life. Let me give you an example. Any of you out there, bought a car and figured, wow, I haven't seen this car on the street at all, and you know, it's a new car and a new model, and then all of a sudden, after you buy it, you see that car everywhere. And you say, you know, how can that be? Well, what it is, it's just our mental focus is more focused, and we're attracting that into our life. So we have all the good that we need around us, but whether or not we can identify it depends on whether or not we started the day and have in our lives every moment of every day this mental focus on the good that's coming our way, and how you have the perfect thoughts, the perfect words, and the perfect deeds. So that's an excellent technique in order to overcome that. But yes, are there committee members out there? That you bet there are these negative thoughts, these lower self thoughts that other people have, not just you, but everybody else has some degree of those thoughts, and that it is up to us to take control and to attract, first of all, in our own minds, that we are good, that we are attracting good, and then that will go out and that will attract that into our lives versus the negative.
Right. And you know, I'm going to share just a very easy affirmation that I actually do every morning, and it's going to address what the caller mentioned. And I say, before I get out of bed, I'm very quiet, just as you stated. I'm very quiet. I quiet my spirit, and I quiet my mind, my thoughts. And I say in my head, sometimes out loud, I am a spiritual and mental magnet attracting to myself all things that bless and prosper me. Now,
beautiful.
You can use that if you want. Or, and this is another one that I say, God or the universe, whichever word you want to use, I'm not putting words in your mouth, either one, they are both the same. God, whatever you have for me is for me, bring it to me. Universe, whatever you have for me is for me, bring it to me.
Yeah.
Or God, universe, whoever you have for me is for me, bring them to me.
Yeah.
Those are all in the present tense. Those are words that are easy to say, and you can download this if you want to listen back to hear those again. But those are easy words to say, and those words will address just what the caller says, because when you say, I am attracting to me all things that are good, I'm attracting all things that bless and prosper my life, you are in the present tense, and it goes right in with your affirmations and your self-talk.
Absolutely. You bet. Well, Kathy, you know, you have a very excellent grasp on how one can manage their thinking, and by managing your thinking that you can manage your life. That it's interesting that most of us really don't perceive properly. We misperceive life. I can't tell you how many people have told me in the past things like, oh, I got a divorce and this is the worst thing in my life, or I lost my job and it's the worst thing in my life. And then they found out that you know, oh my gosh, look at this, that because of that I'm where I am today. You know, we're all where we are today because of the past circumstances that we had. And that for us to recognize that today and right now is beautiful. You know, if we each just sit and think, right now, other than my thoughts thinking about whatever, you know, what might happen and all these other committee members or what happened to me in the past, that instead of all of that, that really, I mean, if we sit and think, everything's just great. You know, we have food in our stomach, we have a roof over our head, that we have people that love us, that you know, we have all those things. And, you know, are there challenges? Yeah, there's challenges, but it's all a matter of how you look at it. And so if we look at our challenges as opportunities for us to grow and to accept our inheritance, you know what our inheritance is, Kathy, that we each have the inheritance of eternal peace, of happiness, of joy, of prosperity, and that all we have to do is accept it. We don't have to have, you know, a Mercedes-Benz to run around with or $1 million house to be happy. And I know people that are miserable with lots of money. And you were sharing with this where someone wins the lottery and that, you know, they're still not happy. Well, that's right, because, see, money doesn't buy happiness. And, you know, will money make life better? Well, you know, really all of us, most of us are in the top 1% of income ever in the history of the world. And we're complaining we don't have enough money.
Exactly.
You know, then my gosh, you know, we need
and
to
when
be
you
grateful.
And when you actually think about life obstacles, Dr. Hank, I mean, we've all been through life obstacles. Every single one of us on this planet, we've all experienced life traumas, divorce, health issues, some type of emotional trauma, and you came through it. Think about it that way. Whatever happened to you, you had to have come through it, or you wouldn't be listening to this show right now. You came through it, and you will always come through it. And it's just a matter of how you perceive and learn what you learn, how you learn, how you perceive that experience going forward. You can allow it to stay stored in there as a miserable thought, or a toxic belief, or you're negative and you're bitter and you're resentful and you're lonely and you're in a pity party, or you can look at it as, you know what, I came through that unscathed, and now I learn, and I know what to do the next time that happens. It's all your choice. Isn't it amazing and wonderful to have choices?
Absolutely. See, and that's the freedom that we have. We have the choice to either be ruled by these committee thoughts that we don't have to. Today is the day to wake up, to be enlightened, and recognize I don't have these thoughts anymore. I can change my thought about any and everything and look at the good, and I will find good. That we are so powerful, whatever we look for, we can find either good or bad, and by golly, why don't we take our inheritance and choose good?
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there are no coincidences, like you were saying,
your
listeners
right.
out there.
I was getting ready to say that. And, see, that's a very good example of how positive energy is connected.
Yeah.
I was just getting ready to talk about coincidences and when you get that feeling of, something told me.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and that your listeners right now, they're out here and we're touching their hearts, their minds, and they're feeling that and they're recognizing that, wow, I have a choice and I can make a good choice and I can make that choice of good in my life. And that I have it all. I'm it, and I have it all right now. And that when we recognize that it is good. Life is good. And that, you know, and again, if you're saying to yourself, oh, no, but mine is an exception, that, hey, that's just a committee member, you know, talking you out of your own good. And that get overrides above that. And recognize that life is good, that you are good, that, you know, some of us have been brought up because, again, bad intention parents, and this has gone through generations after generations of dysfunctional behavior from, you know, one generation to the next, and that we end up sitting there where we say, it's not that I make mistakes, that really inside we're saying to ourselves, I am a mistake. And the fact is, none of us are a mistake, that all
Absolutely.
Of us are here for a purpose, that we are here
That's
for
right.
good, that and it, in order to lead that charge in our own life, in whatever little way, because there is no little way, that whatever positive thing you do, that it rocks the world, and you can rock the world right now with your positive good thoughts, and you can start leading the life that you've always dreamt of.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, Dr. Hank, we're coming up on our last 5 minutes of the show, and it has been absolutely wonderful having you on with your powerful insight and all of the tools and tips and techniques that you have given us to food for thought as we go on this journey to design our life plan. And I just wanted to make a few announcements that next week we will begin to focus on. We, of course, will recap, answer questions. If you have questions, comments you didn't have an opportunity to share tonight, please send me an email, info@Kathy@CHollowayHill.com. Send me your questions. If you don't want to come on the air live and speak, I will read your question. And we will make sure that you get your answer. Next week, we will be focusing on, of course, we'll always weave in the mindset and the thought process, but we will be focusing on your personality profile and what and how to motivate you, because each and every one of us is different, and each and every one of us has different personality traits, and each and one of us has different methods to be motivated. So that's what we're going to talk about and focus on next week. So come prepare for that. I also encourage you to go to the website that Dr. Hank recommended, the cmtbook.com, and download the tracking sheet for your thoughts. And also go to my website and download either the free mini workbook or the full emotional bailout workbook. It's all available. Everything you need, all the tools you need are here for you. So getting the work done, living the life of your dreams, it is up to you. So send those letters in, send those comments, questions, issues. It doesn't matter what it is. We are here to help you. So, Dr. Hank, I'm going to just ask you to take us out with our last closing thoughts, and, you know, we really appreciate your brilliance. So just give our listeners just something last to close out with.
Well, you bet, Kathy. Then I want to thank you for having me on your show, and that, you know, for all of us to sit back and really to just calm ourselves, become relaxed, to become still, and to be grateful, to recognize what we have in our life, our lives, our loved ones, the home that I have, the place we live in, you know, whatever it be, and recognize that each one of you are very special, very unique, that you are made in the image and likeness of God, that take care of yourself, be gentle to yourself, love yourself, and open up your heart to yourself and to others, and know that this life is a good life, and that it is in your hands, it is in your thoughts on what type of life that you have and experience, that the way life works is as easy as that I plant seeds into my conscious mind. And Kathy has done a wonderful job in planting good, positive seeds in your conscious mind, and that goes into your subconscious mind, and your subconscious mind then creates that in your experience. So think about the experience that you want in your life, and then think the thoughts that will generate that experience. And I guarantee you this is how life works, and that life will give you the experience, again, of eternal peace, of happiness and joy and prosperity, and with all your dreams will come true as long as your thoughts are upon your dreams. So God bless each one of you, and I send you my love and my positive thoughts to you, knowing that you and your loved ones shall now have that type of life you've always dreamed of.
That is very beautiful. And also remember that an attitude of gratitude is absolutely the foundation of success. And so we thank our guests. We thank you all for your commitment level to continue on this journey. I am so proud of each and every one of you for tuning in every week since we've been doing this. You all have come a long way, and I'd love to hear your stories, your questions, your issues, your comments. So please send those emails in, because I am waiting to hear from you. So we are going to sign off for now. We thank you. We love you. We believe in you, and we know that you're going to accomplish this goal or these goals that you have as we go on this journey toward living your life your way. So we're going to sign off for now. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill. Thank you to our guests. Good night, everyone, and we will see you same time next week here on the Living by Design Show.